Okay, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. As you think of 2 Timothy, you think of the Apostle Paul in the maritime prison, soon to be beheaded. The great Apostle Paul has stood once before Caesar. And the Bible tells us his first answer before Caesar, no one stood with him, but all men forsook him. And a great sad picture. And 2 Timothy is somewhat of a forward-looking book. And it is a forward-looking book, and it uses the principle of Paul in prison, forsaken by many, now that he has to bear the cost of the cross in a new way, the Roman persecution, which is was different than the first Jewish persecution. You know, the passing of the baton is continually taking place in Christianity, from one generation to the next. And of course, the picture here is the last days. And special instructions. Now we realize that in God's timetable, the last days started with the coming of Christ. But in this figure of the last days, we see again the passing of the baton to a new generation. And the leadership of Christianity, it seems in figure, is being passed from Paul to Timothy. And there are words here of instruction for faithfulness. And there's words here of instruction for the continuation of the truth and God's plan in the church. And so we have some great truths here. We looked at some of them last week of God's purpose. God had a purpose for Timothy. He saved and raised him up for this special occasion, so to speak, to take the baton and to be a good leader. But now we have some special instruction. Now, this special instruction is very significant. Now, in one sense of the word, it's instruction from the aged Apostle Paul to young Timothy. In one sense of the word, the figure here is the instruction from the older generation to the next generation. That's you guys. Yeah, right there. It's instruction that is vital to the future of Christianity. It's instruction that is vital for people to be found faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming. Now, you know, there is a sense in which young people don't think like old people. And there's a sense in which young people, by virtue of their youth, and especially in a day in which there is a disjuncture between the old and the new, or the old generation and new generation. There is a lack of understanding of many issues, many truths that are vital. And the Apostle Paul is dealing with that as he is really commissioning Timothy to lead the next generation to be faithful to God, and for further generation to be faithful to God, especially in the last days. And so this morning we want to look at these words. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Hold fast the form of sound words. Now, here's a very special instruction. The word form is the word type. Translated 1 Timothy 1:16, pattern. It is the idea of a picture. It's the idea of a picture. Now, as I see this instruction, hold fast the form of sound words. Now notice there is the action that is required, and that's hold fast. It is a picture of holding on. It is a picture of holding fast something that the circumstances would indicate, you know, something that's easily let go. You know, hold fast. That's a real truth. I remember just recently reading about there was a flood in an area, and a young lady was in the middle of the flood waters, and she was holding on to a tree. And she was holding on for all her might. And the rescue people were trying to get to her. But the stream of water was just fierce. And they got within 10 feet of her. And they couldn't get any closer. And she couldn't hold on any longer. She lost her life. I mean, that lady understood what it meant to hold fast. But what is it that we are to hold fast? It says, hold fast the form of sound words. Now, notice it didn't say, and obviously the picture is there, hold fast sound words. We know that that is an obvious truth, because the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And if you're in my Bible class, you know what the word sound means, right? What does the word sound mean? Yeah. What does sound mean? Where's the other seniors? Right in the back row. What does the word sound mean? The teacher gets an F. Free from the least taint of disease. Somebody was in my class. Free from the least taint of disease. It means completely healthy, healthy doctrine. But notice it says, hold fast the sound, the form of sound words. Now, you got to get the picture. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become or are fitting, are fitting to sound doctrine. Now it's talking about a bunch of practical things. It talks about how young men are supposed to think and their attitudes, and young ladies and mothers, how they're supposed to be and what their emphasis is supposed to be in their life, and the aged women. It tells us these things are fitting for sound doctrine. What is it saying? It's saying that there's always a outward connection, a visible connection, a proper connection between Bible doctrine and living. And if there isn't, then you don't have sound doctrine. You don't have sound doctrine. Isn't it amazing? We live in a day in which Bible programs on computer, concordances, Bibles, you name it, theologies, in numerous forms are available. People's access to the Bible is greater today than ever before in history. And even though we are in a day in which doctrine is declining, there certainly is a huge disconnect between living and the Bible. Now notice it says there isn't supposed to be a disconnect, but there's supposed to be a connect. Okay? There is supposed to be a connect. It says, hold fast the form of sound doctrine. I put down, what is this form? This picture is the outward picture of the true heart of truth. The outward picture of the true heart of truth. You see, truth always manifests itself in a picture, a visible picture. Now, notice it talks about, in Titus, I believe, it talks about a woman that doesn't obey her husband brings great blasphemy to the Word of God. Notice the connection between truth and living. Now, so, let's talk about what he's talking about. Outward form. You know, when you think of Paul's salvation, there's a picture there, isn't there? A pattern of them which should hereafter believe. 1 Timothy 1:16. What was the pattern? You have a sinner. You have repentance. You have instantaneous conversion. You have a changed life. You have the call of God. You have the work of God being done. You had a picture of salvation, a picture of where he was, when he got saved, how he got saved, what were the results? That's the pattern of them which should hereafter believe. It's a picture, isn't it? And you know, what's it saying? It's saying there's a picture. You know, you think of Wheaton College. John Eliot was going to Wheaton College in the 50s. And there was something going on in Wheaton College. If you read about Through the Gates of Splendor, most of his quotes are from neo-Orthodox people who don't believe the Bible. If you're reading his book, his wife's book about John Eliot, Through Gates of Splendor, you realize that at Wheaton College in 1950s, there's a great dilemma going on, and the debate was instantaneous conversion versus a process of conversion. And John Eliot's father believed in instantaneous conversion. But his son was beginning to swallow a process of conversion. In other words, there was never a point in which you got born again. The old liberal idea that you are gradually becoming a Christian. Now, what is the form of sound words? The form of sound words is an outward picture that is a proper corresponding display of sound doctrine. Now, you say you can't judge something by its cover. That's true. But you can judge, to a certain degree, sound doctrine. Because sound doctrine is always going to have a proper form. There's going to be a proper picture that goes with it. Let me give you an illustration. I remember 1970s. When was that? 1977. We came to Wisconsin. Back to Wisconsin. I came back to Wisconsin from having graduated from seminary to start a church somewhere. And I remember turning on the radio and listening to Stuart Briscoe. And I don't know how that happened, but I did, just accidentally. And he was preaching on Acts chapter 8. And he said, it doesn't matter. He's talking about baptism. He says it doesn't matter whether it is sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. Wrong. 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 Hold fast the form of sound doctrine. What's the picture of baptism? Is the picture of baptism, is it sprinkling? No. Is it pouring? No. Is it immersion? Yes. Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is that important? Yes. That's the gospel. Is it important? Yes. I went to a college one time. The vice president says, baptism isn't important. What? Something mighty wrong there. Doesn't matter if it's sprinkling, pouring, immersion. Baptism isn't an issue here. What? Now, notice what I'm saying here is the Bible is saying in the last days there's going to be this tendency to take away the form, and the reason for it is a lack of healthy doctrine. And the form is, you might say, the beginning of the decline and the losing of sound doctrine. Because sound doctrine is best seen by the intricate relationship between that doctrine and its form. The outward picture. The ordinances. Is the form important? Yeah, it sure is. If they don't have the form right, I guarantee you they got their heart wrong. The heart of the doctrine. There's something that there's a disconnect. Let's think about the doctrine of the church. You know, the Bible gives us a picture of the church. Gives us a picture of the church. What does he give us a picture of? About the church. Well, obviously he gives us a picture of saved people. Lord, add to the church daily such should be saved. Saved people. What does he have a picture of the church? Well, he has a picture of baptized believers. What is the picture of the church? In New Testament, you have the picture that one could be seen. Every believer. And I think they're talking about adult believers. Every believer was baptized and a member of a New Testament church. That's the picture. But let's picture about the health of the church. In the New Testament, we have a picture of the church. What do we have? We have a picture of the supremacy of the Word. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine. That's Acts 2:42. I should give you some of these references. Acts 2:42. We find that the center of the church was the Word of God. That's the picture. What do we find about the church? The church was a place of work for God. And they continued steadfastly in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in fellowship. That's the word partnership. The partnership of the gospel. That's what church is about. Work. Working for God. And the breaking of bread. Worship. Church is about worship. Bow down and worship the Savior. Our all is due Him. Worship. Prayer. Church is about God's power. That's the key to the church, is God's power. I like softball, but the key of the church isn't softball. That's not the power of the church. Man, you ought to have more men coming out to men's prayer meeting than softball. Whoops, shouldn't have said that. Right? What kind of picture are you going to have? You see, there's a picture, isn't there? And that picture is the result of sound doctrine. It says, hold fast the form of sound doctrine. Now, you think about that. I mean, you know me, I'm going to apply it a little bit more than that. What about godliness? What are you gonna? What about that? What about godliness? What about our appearance? Is our appearance a picture? Is our appearance a picture? You get a picture today of Christianity. What do you have? Picture of someone sloppily dressed. Jiving to some Christian rock music with a messy hairdo with immodest clothes. That's a picture. Is that a very good picture? There's something missing. You know what's missing? sound doctrine. Because sound doctrine has a form. Now, young people, you don't understand that. You don't understand that. You think, you know, if you're not saved, you're not walking the Holy Spirit, you think, yeah, it's just about, you know, it's just about some outward thing. No. God's orderly. God's clean. Pure. The Jewish people had a ribbon of blue in their garment. They weren't to be ashamed to identify themselves as the people of a holy God. See, there's an appearance, isn't there? There's this outward picture. That goes along proper doctrine. Now, I think there could be a lot of other pictures that come with it. I think of Hebrews 10:25. It says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching." You know, sound doctrine, the coming of Christ. Don't you think it should be seen? Don't you think it should be visible that the people of God are really looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yep, I think so. An obvious urgency in their life. The Bible says the fact is that those people are looking for the coming of Christ. It says, and so much the more, assembling yourselves together. There's an urgency. There's a sense of the need to be right with God and to be in God's house and to fellowship and do the will of God. And so here it's talking about these outward picture of true doctrine. What's slipping today? Oh, they just say, it means nothing. I don't believe that. I mean, if you could go through history, the very things that I'm talking about, you'll see churches and organizations getting lax on this outward corresponding picture, and it's only an indication that they have lost the heart of sound doctrine. I remember a great preacher from the East. He was preaching here in the state fellowship meeting. And if you know Brother Jordan, he is a great guy. And he'd kind of grunt when he preached, you know. You know, he said, "I'm against informal church services." And then there's somebody in the crowd says to me, "The problem is, back home in his church, his son's church, that's just what they're doing." You say, what's the big deal? There's an outward picture that the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, this type, this picture, this outline, hold it fast! Because it's the first thing to go. It's the first thing to go. Actually, it's the second thing to go. The heart of the truth has been lost. And then there's no reason to hold this outward form because there's no meaning. Hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the form. Now, you young people, you're going to be under pressure more than ever before. You know, churches are hard to get started. Churches are real hard to get started. And they're harder than ever to get started. Because very few people have a sense of the heart of sound doctrine. And they got all this worldly thinking. They just want to throw all that stuff away. And you need to be an old fuddy-duddy. Holding up to the form of sound word. Because there's a relationship between the soundness of the truth and the picture that is seen. Hold it fast. The pressure is on. I don't believe for 1 minute that the pressures of the outward appearance of churches and church members and all of that, I don't believe for 1 minute that there's nothing to it. It has everything to do with the doctrine, the heart of the doctrine, the heart understanding who God is and what the truth is that is being let go. But notice it says, how to do it? In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice faith. Well, faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You know, it's just been interesting, just from recent events. Emily is out in Navajo Indian Reservation with a team from BCM. Four of our kids are there. A young lady gets saved. I mean, it seems she genuinely got saved. And she passed some of the first tests about putting God first, being in church instead of going somewhere else she could have went. And without saying a word, she brings the subject up. Do you ever wear pants? Do you ever wear trousers? No. Asked Emily. Never? No. Don't own any. Really? Think I need to change my apparel. The heart related to the outward form. The camp out. I don't think we preached on the subject. Young lady stands up and get rid of all my pants, my trousers. We didn't preach, huh? Why? Because the Word of God went deep. There's an obvious result and picture of sound doctrine. It isn't a mistake. It's an obvious result. There's an obvious connection. But it tells in faith. You know the problem of new evangelicals? They don't have much faith. That's the problem. Their problem is they don't have much faith. They think that they have to go to the movies and drink beer and look like a slob, and then they can win the lost people. They don't have that faith that there's a living God, a holy God, that the Spirit of God is holy. And the Spirit of God convicts people of sin, but it also convicts them of righteousness. That righteousness is good. It's, the Bible says, the beauty of holiness. You know, you don't have to paint Jesus as your buddy next door. Paint him as who he is, the Holy Son of God. And when the Spirit of God is working and there's true conversion, people will want that Jesus. You know, it takes faith to practice the Bible. It takes faith, young person, to have faith, to believe that God can still genuinely save people like he's done for 2,000 years and more. It takes faith to believe that we have a holy God, and that when someone gets saved, that holy God comes to live within them, and his purpose is to produce holiness in the life. Didn't ever change. But you know, again, notice the relationship between the truth and the picture. There's a relationship. It says in faith. It takes faith to stay by the stuff and believe that God is still in the soul-saving business just like in the Bible. I long for that, don't you? Long for genuine conversions. You know, I remember the story of Ernest Rockstead. I think it was Ernest Rockstead. Young Lutheran boy, read a sermon on the resurrection, got saved, reading that sermon, put his faith in Christ, went to the dance hall the next night and couldn't stay there. He knew he was in the wrong place. You know, nowadays that guy doesn't live. He's dead. No, he's not dead. He's still alive. He's just as holy as ever. Then it says, and in love. You know, compromising is a problem of love. Compromise is a problem of love. The Apostle Paul said, under all these circumstances, I've held to serving God. Why? He says, the love of Christ hath constrained me. You ever heard of loyalty? You know, loyalty and love are related. If we love Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to hold to the truth. It's out of our love for him. What are we supposed to do? You know, it's like Josh was telling me about this Jewish young man that got saved. He got saved in New York City or wherever it was, and he was making money and sending the money and supporting his family, Jewish family back in Europe. And he wrote his Jewish family back in Europe and said, I got saved, I accepted Christ. And they wrote back and told him, you need to turn from this false Jesus. And he wrote back, says, I can't. And they wrote back and they said, we have, don't send us any more money. Everything that you ever bought us, we have destroyed it. And after this letter is over, I'm going to take this pen that you gave us and we're going to break it. But did he give up on Jesus Christ? No, why? Because how can you? How can you? How can you turn your back on the one who loved you? He says, in faith, and in love, which is in Jesus Christ. Good thing which says, committed unto me, keep by the Holy Ghost. Dependence not on self, but dependence on the Spirit of God. It's God's power that we need. Hold fast the form of sound doctrine. Hold fast the form of sound doctrine. You know, there's some things you just don't understand. And that new evangelical, they say, it doesn't really matter. Sprinkling, pouring, immersion, not a problem. You know, baptism. No problem. Their problem is they don't know the truth. They don't know the truth. Because they don't know the truth, and the truth hasn't gripped their heart. They're just willing to let anything happen. That's what's wrong. Young person, let truth grip your heart. When truth grips your heart, things make a difference. You know what? There's truth that is essentially understood by the pitcher. Don't be those that are quick to change. It indicates a person who has a lack of understanding at the depth and the heart of the doctrines of the Bible. I've seen this over and over. I remember going to seminary in the 70s. And I remember Western Baptist Bible College coming out with a paper and starting to advocate social drinking. Now, they didn't really advocate social drinking, but they did the precursor step. They started trying to teach that Jesus drank alcoholic beverage. Well, you know what that means? If Jesus drank alcoholic beverage, then that means you can too. Right? And it was just an outward thing that followed outward thing after outward thing after outward thing after outward thing after outward thing that followed. Why? Because sound doctrine was being deteriorated inside the heart. As an application, the pressure of the day, young person. Yep, the pressure of the day is to just throw away all the outward forms. Form of orderliness, form of purity, the form of separation from the world, the form of reverence, the form of worship. Just throw it away. You know, that doesn't really mean anything. That's just outward. No, the Bible says hold fast the form of sound words. Why? Because the outward is related to the inward. Why do the new evangelicals want to get rid of the pews and replace them with theater chairs? Why do the new evangelicals, why do they want to get rid of the organ and replace it with a rock band? You know, there's a reason. It's because of their view of God. There's a reason. They have changed their view of a holy God. And guarantee you, they've also changed their view of conversion. You go to the typical mega church out there and you ask them when they were saved, and they will have a hard time telling you when they got saved. And there will be people in there that are saved, but they'll be confused as well. Because you know what? They don't really believe in instantaneous conversion. They don't really believe it. And you think they're going to have a person stand in front of the church and give a testimony when they were saved and the results of their salvation? No. Why? Because of their doctrine. They don't really believe in instantaneous conversion. They don't believe in repentance. The pressure of the day. Paul said, Timothy, you have a duty. You have a duty to hold fast the form of sound words. Now, it's going to be hard to do that if you don't understand the relationship between the form and the doctrine. And then it's going to be hard to do that if you don't have the heart of the doctrine in your heart. Because then you won't understand the corresponding form. But this is a duty to God. This is a duty to God. So this is a message to the leaders of tomorrow, really the leaders of today. It's a message to you young people. It's a message to young families in this church. I think of us older guys. There's some that are a lot older than us. I won't say who their names are. But they're even sitting in the same row. But Mr. Griffin, Mr. Raines, myself, I start thinking, boy, you know what? Mr. Griffin's had health problems. Mr. Raines has had health problems. I'm doing fine. No. I think, oh. What happens when they're gone? What happens when they're gone? Who's going to hold tenaciously to the form of sound words? All it takes is a moment of death, and it's all over. And then the truth will come out, won't it? What people really believe. So what's the message to a church member? I guess the message to a church member is the message of Paul to Timothy about faithfulness. There's a long-term relationship here. And the church member needs to understand the heart of truth, the unchangeability of truth, and understand the relationship between truth and form. And with all the pressure of the world that doesn't know the truth to change the form, don't do it. It's a message for you to come to understanding. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not a bunch of this and that. There's truth at stake. Now, one of the greatest problems in fundamentalism is that in fundamentalism, last 20, 30, 40 years, even from its beginning, they didn't teach enough of the Bible. For some of them, they just held on to a form, but they never taught the people the Bible. And after a while, it says, that's just a bunch of phooey stuff. They never taught the Bible. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how many young people, how many preachers don't know the Bible. They don't know the Bible. The next generation that came out of Maranatha after me, there's a rule on campus. No slacks allowed. But you know what? They never taught them why. They never taught them why. I remember Mrs. Canise telling me just a few years ago, she said, "Pastor, the reason I have convictions about women's apparel is because I came to Mequonago." I'm not trying to toot our horn. I'm just trying to give illustration. She says, "Because you taught what the Bible said." And there I got Bible convictions. But you know, she said, at Maranatha, I never learned why. I would never have had Bible convictions. We need to know the Bible. And there's a relationship between the Bible and the outward form that corresponds with it. Pray for understanding. As a church member, pray for understanding. Pray that the Holy Spirit will give you understanding of the Bible and the relationship between these things. Pray that the truth will enter your heart so you can understand. Because it is a vital issue of staying true to God in the last days. Everything today has a direction. And this is one of the things that determines direction. And it's simple because the Bible says it's a picture. It's something that you can see. It's a picture, an outline of truth. Hold to it. Hold to it. Grab it. Get it. It's not a mistake. It's a great truth for us in these days. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today for the miracle of salvation. I thank you that, Lord, salvation isn't just some wooden thing like they have in catechism class in churches today, but it's real. It's a new birth. And Lord, not only is salvation real, not only are you the living God, but God's Word is living. It's living and powerful. And Lord, we know that Jesus himself told us, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and life." And Lord, it is so essential that the people of God understand the spirit of the Word of God, the inner core of truth that will give them this impetus, that will give them this understanding. They'll give them this sense of relationship between many things that a lot of people just boo-hoo, but really are the picture of right doctrine, are the application of right biblical thinking. And Lord, help us not to be drawn into that error. And Lord, if we don't understand, Lord, I pray that you'll help people to truly, as we talked about in Sunday school, go to Proverbs 2 and go to the living God and get the fear of the Lord from his word. That right relationship between you and them and the Word of God in our hearts. So, Lord, may these truths help us here in this place to be glad for your mercy and grace and to have the faith to believe that the God of heaven still is holy and his truth is still truth without a shade of turning. And help us, Lord, to realize that what we need in this place is a renewed love for Jesus Christ. What we need is the power of the Spirit of God, for He only is the one that can bring conviction and illumination and bring about the genuine new birth that produces the genuine results spoken of in God's Word. So, Lord, encourage your people today. Understand. Encourage your people to be glad that we're trying to hold the form of sound words. Encourage your people to pray that we would be able to stay true in these days of compromise, and that the power of God would be real in our ministry. For only you can do the real thing, Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed.